what we're going to look at tonight about the healing of this leper. Does anybody know what a leper is? That's somebody that has leprosy. Their body starts decaying from the outside and works its way to the inside. It starts off with your fingers and your hands and your ears. Their ears will get eat away. The first thing that happens, it starts attacking the ears, and the ears just sort of get just deteriorate, and it gets a scaly, bumpy area that just cancerous type skin disease, highly contagious, that would just start eating away at the ears and the fingers until all the fingers is gone and the toes, and after that it'll eat away at the other parts. And in the days of Jesus, there was no cure for this disease. Everyone that had this disease was destined to die. There was unless God healed them, the only way out. There wasn't any medicine they could take. There wasn't anything any doctor could do. And it's still in the world today, there is still leper colonies where they would put people and quarantine them from society that has leprosy. You can read in the Bible, it told that anyone that had leprosy, they were to quarantine themselves from the population. They were to get out of the city. There were laws that was made. When they got within so many feet of a person, they were to cry, "Unclean, unclean." That was what they were to cry. And this would let people know when they cried, "Unclean, unclean," that they were leprous and that they shouldn't get close to them. They shouldn't touch them, because they didn't want to spread this disease to anyone else. And it was really actually against the law, and it was punishable by death. If anyone who had leprosy come in and got in a crowd and started touching people and spreading this disease, then the law was that they'd be stoned. And that was to keep this disease from spreading. Now, if they were had lepers, they were put out of the city, and the only way that they could get back into a population of the people, get back into the city and go back to their home and get around the people, they had to go to the priest. If they were healed, go to the priest, show themselves to the priest, and the priest would determine that they are healed, and then they'd be able to come back into town, and they were no longer quarantined from society. Well, here's a man that was quarantined from society. He was put out of town, and he had leprosy. Now, so we want to read about how he was healed, and there's a lot of stuff that we can learn from this. We'll begin here with Matthew, the 8th chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Matthew 8, 1 through 5. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleaned. Now I think for us to really get the most out of this, we want to read everything the Bible has to say about this guy. It told his story in three different locations. Some places told things the other one didn't. You can get three accounts. Just like tonight when we were talking about what happened in Athens, Jeff told you what happened, I told you what happened, Sister Fanny told you what happened. We all told you different stuff. And so you listen to it all, you get a better idea of about what was going on. So we want to look at the other Gospels and the other Gospels. We'll look at Luke, the 5th chapter, and begin reading with verse 12. Luke 5 and 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Notice Luke said Luke was a medical doctor. Full of leprosy meant he had the disease in its final stages. So in some translations translated that he was had the disease in its last stages. The man was full of leprosy, not just had a little touch of the disease, but he, maybe his ears had done fell off, maybe his hand, fingers had done fell off, but he was just full of leprosy. Behold, a man full of leprosy, meaning that leprosy was covering the biggest portion of his body, not just in one location, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him. I want you to notice that right there. Touched him, saying, I will. Now make sure you get this. I will. Be thou cleansed. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Okay, now let's look to Mark, the first chapter. We'll read about this in Mark, the first chapter. We're going to read verse 40 through 45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. That's important. This is something we didn't see in the other two accounts. Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou cleansed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leper, look what it said, immediately. Immediately. That's why I expect people to be healed. Most of the time, they was immediately healed with Jesus. Sometimes they wouldn't. Most of the time, it was. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Okay, we want to see what we can learn from these. Let's continue to read it in verse 43. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. That's so he wouldn't be quarantined any longer. And offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the manner, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And there came to him from every quarter. Okay. I think that shows all of the verses in the Bible about this, these lepers. And I just want to look at some stuff, learn some stuff from this. We see Jesus ministered in more than one way to people. In this instance, he ministered two things that he did. And sometimes we see certain gifts working together. You may see the gifts of faith and the gift of healing working at the same time. I used to always work them together. I would always work, when I was laying hands on people and ministering to people, I would always try to use the gift of faith to speak things into existence along with the gift of healing to lay hands on people until I've actually learn more about now. I know more about it now than I ever know. I just tell you that I'll know more tomorrow than I do today. I'm going to learn something tomorrow. Okay, so I would always use everything I had, every gift I had, at the same time. And now I understand what gifts would does what, and I'm able to just use one gift at a time. Every what gift is needed, I use that thing to get people healed. But it's on this case, this thing, we see Jesus doing two things. One thing he did, he touched the man. Why did he touch him? Jesus touched the man because he was anointed. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus was anointed, not only with the Holy Ghost, but also with power. And this power that Jesus was anointed with was a tangible substance, a heavenly materiality. Tangible, it means it's able to be touched, acceptable to the touch. And there's a spiritual law that ever what you have in you can be transmitted from you by the laying on of hands. And that's why God told us to lay hands on the sick. Every believer has a right to lay hands on the sick. Now, anyone who doesn't have the gift of the Spirit, like the gift of healing or other gifts of the Spirit, of ministry of laying on of hands, then we must teach them. They've got to get that person in faith with them, or their laying on of hands is not going to do any good. But when you're anointed, God will let that anointed take up the slack. And you'll see in certain cases, I'm just going to say this, we talked about 19 cases in the Bible where it tells about Jesus' miracles. 11 out of the 19, the person's faith is what caused them to get healed. 11 out of 19. So there was more of them healed because of their own faith, or their own faith had a part to play in it, than didn't have. However, there was some that we'll show you when we get to them, and we'll show you that they didn't have any faith. We'll show you that they didn't even know who Jesus was and didn't have a lick of faith, and they got healed. We'll show you where they got healed because somebody went by their house that got them. And that person that went by their house had faith. And that person went by their house, got them and throwed them into bed and carried their bed with them and carried them to Jesus and had enough faith to get on top of the house and let them down through the roof. And Jesus looked up and saw the guys on top of the house's faith. Not the man's faith on the couch, but the people up on top of the house's faith. And their faith got the man down on the couch healed. So we'll catch that down the road. We'll catch that in a few months from now. We'll get along to that one. All right. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus was anointed, and so he touched the man. It is significant here that he touched a leopard man. When he touched this leopard man, that was giving him, it directly exposing himself to the disease of leprosy. But do you know he wasn't a bit afraid of the disease of leprosy? He wasn't afraid a bit of it. I'll tell you what I read from John G. Lake. John G. Lake was a great missionary to Africa, and he was a medical doctor, and he got born again and went to Africa. He may have went to Africa as a doctor and then quit practicing medicine over there and started laying hands on folks getting them healed. And so now this is a documented facts what I'm telling you. It's not just something that he wrote or something he wrote in his autobiography or whatever, but this is documented facts. When John G. Lake, he was in Africa at when the bubonic plague hit. And as he was there in Africa, a team of doctors came from the United States to help try to treat the people. And when they got there, they noticed that John G. Lake was in direct contact all the time with these people with the bubonic plague. So they asked him, "What have you inoculated yourself with?" And he said, with the Holy Ghost. And they looked at him sort of strange. They said, "You mean you haven't taken any medicine or done anything to keep you from getting this plague, and you're handling these people, you're touching these people, you're in direct contact with them?" And he said, I want to show you. I'm inoculated with the Holy Ghost. And these scientists from the United States had a microscope sitting there in their lab where they was testing, looking at this stuff. They would have a bloody flux that would come out of the mouths of the people as they were dying with the bubonic plague. And so they took some of this and they was looking at these live germs under this microscope. And the same place that they got these this flux from this person's mouth, put it under this microscope, John G. Lake said, I want to show you something. He reached and got him some on his hand. The even people carefully with gloves, with masks, making sure they didn't come in contact with this plague, was working. Him without his mask, without his gloves, took a slide, put it on his hand, put it on the slide, and said, look at this. And it's a documented fact that every plague germ died when it touched John G. Lake's hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it'll really bless you, him telling about how he learned that it was God's will to heal. He thought God was killing them people. He was mad at God for killing all these folks until he found out, until he studied this verse. God showed him this verse we're looking at to prove to him that he's not the one that was causing them to have this plague. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus touched him. The reason he touched him is because when he touched him, he was transmitting God's healing anointing from his self into that man. So when you lay hands on somebody, something comes out of you and goes into them. And if you're anointed of God, the healing anointing, the same, it's not a different healing anointing. The same anointing Jesus had, the same anointing Paul had. How, as the Bible tells us in the 19th chapter of Acts, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So Paul laid hands on people. And so this anointing was in Jesus and it flowed out of Jesus into the man. But not only did Jesus just lay hands on him, he said when he laid hands on him, he said something. He said, be healed. Now I think you'll find this interesting. He could have prayed for the man, but he didn't. Jesus didn't pray for this man. A lot of times we say we're going to pray to him, and we hear that. I don't say that. If y'all just listen the way I put stuff sometimes, I may say it different from everyone else, and it may be because I've studied it a little bit. What I say is I'm going to minister healing to them. Because when I minister the healing to people, I don't pray for them. Now, I could pray for them and get them healed. You can pray and believe in all things. There's power in prayer. There is power where you can get down and call on the name of God and believe God and get people healed. There's ways where you can get in agreement. If two or three will gather together and agree, so you get two people to agree with you. And there is power in agreement. Except that's not what Jesus was doing here. He wasn't praying for him. He was ministering healing to him. Ministering healing. A prayer is a let's see if we can define what prayer is. When you make a petition to the Father, you're petitioning the Father. And so as you petition the Father in the name of Jesus. And so you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And there's only one way to get there for us, and that's with His name. In that day, Jesus said, you'll ask me nothing, but whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it you. Only way to the Father is through the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. No prayer can get through to God by your own name. You can't say, God, I'm coming to you because I have done everything right this week. I hadn't sinned at all. I paid my tithes, and I fasted for a month, so I'm coming to you tonight. No, that won't get you nowhere. Your prayers won't get no further than your voice can carry them. But when you say, I come to you in the name of Jesus, it makes it all the way from earth to glory. Praise God. But Jesus didn't pray. We won't see. We'll get some of that later, praying. We'll find out how to get people healed praying for them. He could have prayed for them, but he didn't. He ministered healing to them by touching them and saying, be healed. When he said, be healed, at that moment, he released the healing anointing which was inside of him, and it flowed into that man, and he was made whole. That's the way Jesus got him healed. That's one way to receive healing. Not the only way, but one way to receive healing is by the laying on of hands. Any believer can lay hands on people and get them healed. But there is special gifts of the Spirit, special anointings that people can have to lay hands on people and them be healed. And we are just fortunate to live in the day when God has poured out His Spirit upon all flesh, ministered healing to them. Hallelujah. Now, what I used to do, I'd do it all at the same time. I'd make sure I prayed for them, and I might pray a 10-minute prayer. And I found out if you're praying the prayer of faith, it's not how long you can pray, it's how quick you can get it prayed. And there's been some people that I would try to teach to lay hands on people, but they was used to praying a 30-minute prayer, and they couldn't get many folks healed because it's gonna take them 30 minutes for every one of them. And by the time they got through with three, it's an hour and a half, and everybody's done gone home. All right. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to take about 10 minutes right here and talk about, let's look at the receiving end. Let's look at this on the receiving end. It's so important to get this. You're going to have to know this when you get sick. So we want to put this in balance. And I want to see, look at this on how the man was able to receive. First of all, when this man came to Jesus, this man had a certain amount of faith, but his faith wasn't complete. He didn't have faith to get healed, actually. What this man, the faith he had was in the ability of God to heal. He believes that God can heal. Do you know that anybody that believes in God today will believe that God can heal? You ask anybody, can God heal? They'll all say, yeah, God can do anything He wants. If they believe in God, they believe God can heal. But the thing about it is, this man believed God could heal, but he didn't have faith that God would heal. So just believing that He can is not going to get you healed. Not only have you got to believe He can heal, you've got to believe that He will heal. So when this man came to Jesus, he said, if thou willest, thou canest make me whole. Let's put this in everyday English here. If you will, then you can make me whole. So there was no question about the ability of God, but a question about the willingness of God. And I'm going to tell you this, faith only begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God, you won't have faith. Faith only begins where the will of God is known. If you think it's God's will for you to be sick, you will never have faith to be healed. Never, never, ever. If you think God's will for you to be sick. So this man come not doubting God's ability, but doubting God's willingness to heal him. So he said, if thou willest, thou can make me whole. If you will, you can. Now Jesus answered this man once and for all. The words that's written in the Bible is not only for them people there, but the Bible tells us that the Word of God is alive and it reaches every generation, from generation to generation. It never dies. Not only was it for him, but it was for every sick person on the face of the earth today. God said, I will be thou cleansed. He settled his willingness to heal for all. I will. I will. He said it three times. He said it in Mark. I will. He said it in Matthew. I will. It's recorded three times. God recorded it in the Bible three times for a reason, because he wanted you to know, I will. Now, this is not the only verse that proves, but this is what John G. Lake seen when he was saying, how dare you, God, kill my church member? If someone is knocking on his door saying Mary's over on the other side of town and Mary is dying with the bubonic plague, And John G. Lake said, God, how dare you kill another one of mine? You done took this one. You done took that one. And this young lady, she's 25 years old. She's got three kids. She don't need to die. How dare you take another one of my church members? And God said, I ain't the one that killed her. The devil did. And it shocked him so much. And he stepped back and God pointed him to this scripture. And God said, Jesus answered the leper once and for all, I will. Hallelujah. I will. And he looked, and he got his concordance and started reading and looked, and he found where it said, the thief cometh but to steal, and John 10 and 10, and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he's seen it was the devil killing his church members and not God. He's seen it was the devil stealing those children's mother and not God. He's seen it was the devil destroying that young Mary's life and not God. And so he got up from that place and he said, I'm going over there. And I'm going to lay hands on Mary, and Mary's going to be healed. And he walks in the house, and the doctor's walking out shaking his head, said, she'll be gone in a matter of minutes. And he said, this is what the doctor said to him. He said, God works in mysterious ways. You know, that verse ain't even in the Bible. Of course, he does work in mysterious ways. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And the doctor said, but God, he knows best. Let me tell you something. I'm going to go on record. I'm going to go on record right now to say, when a 25-year-old woman dies, it's got three kids, and somebody says, it was their time to go. That's what the devil said. It wasn't their time to go. And when somebody says, when somebody gets killed in a car wreck, well, God knew what he was doing when he took them. I'm just going to say that's just a bunch of junk. It wouldn't God their time to go no more than it's your time to go. Because the Bible tells us there's things we can do to lengthen our life. There's things we can do to shorten our life. I hadn't got time to get you that. I'm just going to tell you that this doctor, as he was telling John G. Lake, God knows best. John G. Lake said it made him mad. And he just stepped back and he said, don't you talk about God like that. God ain't the one that made that woman sick. God's not the one that's killing Mary. God is not the one that knows best. That's the devil that's destroying her. That's the devil that brought this plague. And I'm going in there laying hands on her and she's coming out alive. And that doctor looked at him and he said, you better watch how you mess with God's work. Now, he's been in there doing everything he could messing with God's work. But he's telling John G. Lake, you better watch out how you mess with... John G. Lake walked in, laid his hands on the girl. She got up out of the bed, walked out of the room, and that was the last person John G. Lake lost to the bubonic plague. Every member of his church that got the plague was healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will Be thou cleansed. He settled it. It is not only can God, but He will. Let me tell you, it's not a matter that God promised to heal you. It's a matter that He has already did it. Matthew 8:17. It says, Himself took, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. It didn't say God will take them. It said He did take them. It's not a matter of talking God into it. It's not a matter of you getting down begging, saying, please, 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 God. God, you know I need this. You know, God, that you, that I've done all this right. I've done everything you've told me to do. I've paid my tithes. I have given in offerings. I fast 3 times a week. I don't cuss, and I don't lie, and I don't drink, and I don't smoke. And I got long hair and wear long dresses. So you gotta heal me, God. I had a lady in my prayer line. I walked up to her, and I was about to lay hands on her. We'd had over 20 outstanding miracles that month in the church. I mean, I'm talking about outstanding miracles now. And I walked up to this one lady, and I heard her say, "God, you gotta heal me. I'm the holiest woman in this church." And I stepped back. I said, "God, I don't think I'm going to lay hands on her." But I did anyway. I didn't have a bit of faith. I said, "Ain't no way God's going to heal her on her own merits. You can't get it on your own merits. You can't buy it on your own righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight." Hey, I'm going to promise you this. This ain't the end of this story. All right. We will find out more about it. I'm just going to tell you, He changed His believing. Not only can God, when Jesus said, "I will," His faith was complete. Not only did He believe God can, but He also believed that God will. God will. "I will," Jesus said. So He believed that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.